Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people, because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
But I just mentioned his name, and here he is with us on the line right now to talk about the release of the college football playoff rankings. It is my main man holding it down, Brandon Marcello from 24/7 Sports. Hey, Brandon, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Got some trick-or-treating in with the kid, and now relaxing, trying to make sure I don't eat all the candy.
Well, is it better for you to eat the candy or the kids to eat the candy?
Well, you know what's funny? My kid doesn't like candy. Like, he just won't eat it. The only thing he'll eat is M&M's. So I got this whole big bag full of anything I want, and I'm having to resist it.
Listen, man, you hit the jackpot. I mean, if your kid and family, they don't want candy, then that's good for them. Might be bad for you, but it's good for them, man. Well, let's talk about some of these college football teams. Some fan bases obviously upset. To be expected. I don't think anybody is shocked or surprised with these rankings. Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State rounding out your top four. And then we got some Pac-12 teams there. Washington at 5, Oregon at 6, Texas at 7, Alabama 8. And then Oklahoma 9, Ole Miss at 10. What were some of your first thoughts upon seeing these rankings?
I wasn't surprised. You know, the playoff committee, you know, early on, people tend to get upset because it's always a little bit different than the AP or coaches poll. But that's always because they deal kind of in these hard numbers, strength of schedule, all this stuff, head-to-head. You know, they don't really put their guts into the thinking process here. And it comes through in their voting. You know, if you go back through history here, I kind of wonder why we even have a playoff committee, why they pay all this money to fly all these guys in to North Texas every week and have them sit around and discuss this for hours and hours. Because the BCS computers, the top four would have been the top four, the same top four, in every single year in the playoff committee has been put together. So why do we put people in a room when we still get the same four teams? That's my question. So it's the build-up drama, I think. And then especially here early on when we're entering the final month of the season, people see Ohio State at number one. And, you know, obviously they're not number one in the human polls, but they're number one in the committee. And that's because they weigh these metrics heavily. And right now, they've got two top 15 wins against Penn State and Notre Dame. And that's better than what Georgia and Michigan have right now, and also Florida State. So as much as we say this is a human factor being into the playoff committee's rankings, it's not. They might as well just be, you know, 12 computers sitting around the desk coming up with these rankings.
Brandon Marcello is joining us here at the JR Sport Reef Show, CBS Sports Radio. When I'm going to get back to you on the current system, because I find it to be the same when you look at some of the imagery. Got 25 folks sitting in a giant conference room, long tables to go ahead and make these decisions. When we get to the final iteration in about more than a month from now, do you see any of these teams? What team has the best chance of falling out, and what team has the best chance of moving up into that top four?
Yeah, to me, the best team to potentially move up in that top four is Oregon, which is at number 6 right now. I think they're the better team than Washington right now, which is at number 5. Washington owns the head-to-head right now. When that game was played at Washington a couple weeks ago in an absolute thriller and a classic, Oregon was on the cusp of potentially winning that. If they played that game again, I think Oregon wins. If they play it again on a neutral site, I think Oregon wins. And guess what? We might very well get that in the Pac-12 championship game in early December. And if Oregon can do that and obviously win out, I think the Ducks will make it into the playoff, because as of right now, the Big 12 kind of played itself out of it. And then, of course, Ohio State and Michigan, who are in the top four right now, they play each other later, of course, yeah. And one of them will not be in the playoff. So, to me, Oregon has the best shot to jump in. The team that has maybe the best shot of actually dropping out, I actually think it's the number one team right now, and that's Ohio State. I'm still not sold on them as being a complete team. The schedule, of course, has been pretty good. That's why they're number one right now. But, man, Michigan is just deeper top to bottom. And, of course, as we know, they've had their number the last 2 years. Not just had their number, but just absolutely obliterating Ohio State on the line of scrimmage.
Brandon Marcello is joining us here from 24/7 Sports to talk about the college football playoff rankings. You know, we don't see the traditional Alabama sitting here at the top. We heard Steve Sarkisian go ahead and try to make his case less than 24 hours ago, a couple of days ago, about how, hey, we went in there and we beat Alabama. And we see Texas currently ahead of Alabama and Oklahoma. Oklahoma after Kansas, after that defeat, not looking the best and the brightest. What are your thoughts on kind of that next group there? You know, there's not big, bad Alabama, and I found it interesting that Sark was trying to make his point and case to move up higher in the playoff based on that win.
I think it's smart on his part. It's not going to get his wish, but it's smart on his part because he knows Alabama's probably going to make their SEC championship game once again. And potentially here, if Alabama were to sprout that upset against Georgia in the SEC championship game, then Alabama would be in the playoff. And Texas might be out, even though Texas would own that head-to-head. Even if Texas were to win out. Now, of course, a lot of stuff's going to happen in front of them and behind them and all that. But if you look at it, Texas technically right now has the second-best win in all of college football so far this season by beating Alabama on the road. Washington has the best by beating Oregon, even though that game was at Washington. So there are arguments to be had for Texas, but the problem is that they got that loss on their schedule, which he could argue that it's the best loss of anybody in the top 10 right now, having lost to number 9 Oklahoma. So you know, it is what it is. Listen, any of these teams in the top, I would say 8, maybe top 9, have a shot at reaching the playoffs still. I have a harder time believing with Oklahoma right now because of the schedule, but we'll see. But, you know, Bama, if they went out and beat Georgia, they're in. Texas, I think the Big 12 overall just is going to have a very difficult time ahead of them. They might very well be that Power 5 conference like the Pac-12 has been the last 6-7 years that gets left out.
Well, Brandon, we know, and before we know it, we're going to see both Texas and Oklahoma competing in the SEC. And people have talked about how large of an adjustment it's going to be. Based on what we've seen with that surprise victory, Texas knocking off Alabama, do you think that's been exaggerated?
Maybe a little bit. You know, it's interesting. 2 years ago, I thought Oklahoma was better built for the SEC schedule because of the trenches. And that's actually kind of flipped a little bit here just in the last calendar year. Texas has really, really done a very good job recruiting and preparing for the SEC type of play in the trenches, especially on the defensive line, which doesn't get enough love right now, I think, for Texas. And I think the Longhorns are prepared for it right now. I know you've got that head-to-head right now this season, but I think it's going to prove forward going into next year, that very first year, that Texas is the more well-prepared team to go week by week by week in the SEC.
Brandon Marcello's here with us, 24/7 Sports. When it's all said and done, when we have the final four teams, it sounded like you think Ohio State is going to fall out. What is your final four? Who do you think is ultimately going to make it in when the humans finish playing with the computers?
Well, yeah, exactly. To me, I think Michigan is the best team in the country right now. They're the deepest and best. It's just that their schedule hasn't been worth a darn, but it will be near the end because of the schedule improving with Ohio State coming up. But I think it'll be Michigan. I think it'll be the SEC champion, which I believe will be Georgia. And I think it'll be Florida State. But you always keep waiting for them to stumble. But I think Florida State's going to navigate the schedule. And I think it'll be Oregon. I think Oregon's going to emerge out of the Pac-12 in that rematch against Washington and what may very well be the second-best game of the year after their first matchup. Those are two really well-matched teams. And, man, I think Bo Nix is on the cusp of doing something very, very special there at Oregon this season.
Hey, it's going to be fun to see them continue to play out. As we start to wrap up, I do have to ask you about a dude and a team and a program that is not participating in the college football playoff at all this year, not even sniffing it, and that's Mr. Dabo Swinney. We heard his rant last night, kind of went off the deep end, being accused of not performing based on what his salary is, and he seemed to lose it against the fan, which is like, getting paid all that money and being criticized is part of it. What do you think the issue has been overall with the program? And do you see Clemson turning things around into the future without bringing in just an amazing recruiting class?
You know, what's crazy is I think the last 2 years we've all seen this potentially coming because Dabo Swinney has been so slow. In fact, it's just completely been against overcoming some of these challenges. When I talk about challenges, the advent of NIL and, of course, the creation of the transfer portal. He's really only gone out and gotten two transfers out of the portal in this entire time, and they amount to two walk-on quarterbacks, including a quarterback who was at Clemson, transferred to Northwestern, and then transferred back to Clemson. He has not been able to, I guess for whatever reason, adjust like everybody else has around him. And if he did that, he could have fixed his issues at receiver. That's his big issue right now. Could have fixed some of the issues on the offensive line. But his big issue is at receiver, and it has been the last 2 or 3 years. It hasn't been quarterback, hasn't been DJ Uiagalelei, hasn't been Kay Klubnik. It's the lack of a game-breaking receiver, which they've been so accustomed to seeing over the last decade there at Clemson. And he could have fixed that easily by going to the transfer portal. Look at Florida State right now, which is on the cusp of winning the ACC. They went out and hit the transfer portal to supplement their roster, and they got arguably the best receiver in college football this season, and Keon Coleman, who came from Michigan State, entered the portal this offseason. You mean to tell me if Clemson went after him that he would not have been interested in Clemson? I think he would have. And Clemson, for their part, shot themselves in the foot. They had an opportunity to improve their roster these last 2 to 3 years, and they have literally sat there and done nothing. And now it's starting to bubble up to the surface. And, I think Dabo's a little thin-skinned. I'm sure if you put some truth serum in him, he'd say, man, I messed up these last 2 years. And I'm really taking a licking now. And he's biting back at people. He's like a hurt dog. But I'll tell you what, this offseason, he better hit that transfer portal. He better decide to get with the times.
Do you think, especially being at the beginning really now of his 10-year contract, the way he spoke, at least publicly, against that fan, is he going to see this through, or is he going to kind of ruffle some feathers and maybe get booted in a season or two? And I know it's a lot of money, but do you think he's going to see out this whole contract as coach, or is this just a small bump in the road?
I don't know if he's seen the entire contract through, but I do think he's seen the next few years through. I don't think that barring something crazy happening, that they would try to fire him. Because, one, listen, I know they're all singing harmony in the ACC right now as they expand, but listen, Clemson and Florida State, for that matter, they still want out of the ACC. And if they find a way out that is financially possible for them, I think they would still jump at that. And they can't really afford to go, let's go fire Dabo Swinney, who's won us a couple of national championships, just because maybe we've had 2 or 3 bad years under him. They're kind of in it for the semi-long haul with them. Maybe not the extent of that contract, but for a little bit. They're at an inflection point as a program, as an athletics department in the ACC. And then also, goodness gracious, I would think that the administration there would start putting his feet to the fire a little bit, going, hey, we've done all these new facilities for you. We've done everything for you. We've supported you. But you got to get with the times. You've got to hit the transfer portal. You got to start listening to us a little bit. Otherwise, it could become an absolute drama show, a stage play there. And we'll see. And this is the most important offseason of Dabo Swinney's life coming up.
Yep, I'm certainly here for the drama show, and I want to thank Dabo Swinney for losing his mind, although I still think he needs to just give a full apology. Hey, Brandon, I want to appreciate you for coming through. Where can people follow you and all of your work with 24/7 Sports?
Yeah, I'm at D. Marcello on Twitter and X, and then find me at Brandon Marcello on all of the socials. And of course, go to 247sports.com for full college football coverage.
All right. Thank you so much to Brandon Marcello for joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Maybe you're still new to this whole EV thing, but those range fears? Turns out your all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets you to work and back all week on a single charge. And now every Ioniq 5 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit. When it comes to embracing change, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2023 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions, and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities in select states only.
Hey everyone, you've probably heard us talking about Magnificent Jerk. It's a story about discovering family secrets buried in a low-budget 90s thriller starring Rob Lowe and Ice-T. Magnificent Jerk takes you on a journey through Chinatown gangs, drug robberies, Hollywood reinvention, and a family confronting its unspoken past. It's the true story about a fake story about a real life. Magnificent Jerk is an Apple original podcast produced by Pineapple Street Studios. All episodes are available now. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts. This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.